Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our steampunk wheelchair. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop.
How are you, Ari?
I'm good. I like that. Steampunk wheelchair.
I couldn't figure out what it was. A carriage?
It was supposed to look like the old time cars, the first cars.
Oh, it was. And yeah, and that's why they show the car at the beginning. We watched The Time Machine, the titular Time Machine.
Good word.
Written by the book, The Time Machine, written by H.G. Wells. And I forgot to write down when he wrote. Have you ever read it?
I have never read it, and I have never seen any of the other versions of this movie.
There are a lot of versions. I knew there was a couple movie versions, but they mention at least 5 movie/teleplays, couple of TV shows, and this is technically, we watched the 2002, The Time Machine. This is described as the remake of the 1960 film. And I don't know if you noticed, but this was directed by Simon Wells.
Okay.
Not a coincidence.
Is there a relation?
This is the great-grandson of H.G. Wells.
No kidding.
Directed this movie, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool. So let's get into the fact portion of this situation. Directed by Simon Wells, the great-grandson of H.G. Wells. He's done a lot of animation, Kung Fu Pandas. He was a story artist. He didn't direct them, but he's a story artist on a lot of those. Chicken Run, Ants, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, supervising animator on that. That's pretty cool. His directing, he did The Prince of Egypt, An American Tale, Fievel Goes West. Fantastic. And this, he was a consultant on Back to the Future Part 2.
Interesting.
I don't know how he consulted in that. Maybe they just wanted a Wells in the credits. Maybe they just went out and had lunch so that they could add that to the credits and sound more awesome.
Yeah.
Starring Guy Pearce of Memento fame, Count of Monte Cristo, King's Speech, Prometheus, which I forgot. Mm-hmm. I love Prometheus despite everyone else's meh.
No, I liked Prometheus.
On that subject, I really enjoyed it. Who else is here? So a theme is starting to emerge with these time travel movies because I think a lot of people are scared to go into them because they're sci-fi, they're risky, there's usually not a ton of money pumped into them. And so you wind up with a lot of actors who have done a lot of television and not a lot of movies. So you get a lot of very good actors with very long IMDb credits, but not a lot of movies. And this is no exception. A lot of great actors. They've all done the CIS route. They've all been on Law and Order, all that stuff. And now they're doing a movie. So you get a lot of great actors, but not a ton of things to point to. Of course, besides Jeremy Irons, who is amazing. And we will get to him much later. But Hans Gruber's younger brother is always a delight and plays the creepy dude you would expect him to play when his name comes up in the credits. I think that's good on facts. We will now head over to Ari for the fiction. And what is your overview, Ari?
All right. So,
dun, 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 dun. Ari's overview.
I have a theme song. So this movie is about a scientist, a professor, scientist, mathematician, engineer. He can do it all.
General thinker.
Yep. Who has a horrible night when his fiance that he just proposed to gets shot. by a mugger, I guess you could say. And he goes a little crazy and locks himself in his lab and essentially builds a time machine. He then goes back to that night that his fiance was shot, and he changes it. So he takes her away from that location to another location, and he thinks everything is great. And then she gets run over by a horse and carriage, because this takes place in like the 1880s or 90s or something. We'll figure
1880s out. 1880
something. Yeah, we'll figure out exactly when. And so then he has the realization that he can't change the past. And why can't he? He wants to know, why can't I change the past? And he essentially comes up with the idea that if he kept trying to go back and save her, he would just watch her die over and over again. So instead, he decides to go into the future, far, far into the future. And he comes out onto the year 2030, I believe. And it's the future, and everything looks cool. And he's trying to find the answer to why he can't change the past. He goes into a library where there's a AI computer and asks him, and the AI computer says you can't change the past because time travel's not real.
Orlando Jones.
I can't
believe I left him out. Orlando Jones is the encyclopedia of the future, and he's always a delight.
Right.
And real quick, while I'm jumping in, 1899. Is where we start.
1899 is where we start. Great. Cool. I'm not sure when the first cars came out, but I'm sure it's right around then.
They were a reality. They were...
Didn't the first cars come out in 1901? Ford Model T came out in 1901, I feel like.
That would have been... Something would have been developed before that, but obviously that would have been the popularization of it.
The commercial sale of it. Anyway, cool.
It would have been as rare as this movie depicts in 1899.
Like, right.
Holy crap.
Right. So the main character in 1899 comes across a guy who has essentially one of the very first cars, and he's like, holy moly. And, you know, he wants to look at it, but he's late to go meet his lady, who then gets shot. Anyway, so he's in the future, and he's trying to figure out why he can't change the past by asking the artificial intelligence library Orlando Bloom guy. And he says time travel's
Orlando
not real.
Jones.
Sorry. Wrong Orlando. Very big difference between Jones and Bloom. Right. Sorry. So help me out with this part. Does he go a little bit further into the future, and that's when the moon...
He goes 7 years.
Okay. He gets in his time...
Or he starts to go... Or go ahead.
Yeah, he gets in his time machine after the library computer guy says time travel's not real, you cannot change the past. He's like, ah. He gets in his time machine, and he starts to go, and then the time machine gets bumped or rocked, and something happens, and so he stops the time machine, and he's 7 years into the future, so he's 2037, and when he comes to a stop, it looks like a post apocalyptic city. You know, there's things are destroyed, it's nighttime, there's lights, there's police, and you know, he comes across these police and says, what happened? And this made me very sad because I love the moon. The moon and I have a big connection. I love all things space and stars and moons. And in this movie, the moon got destroyed. Apparently in 2030 we have space stations on the moon and we are mining the moon for something.
Oh, did they say that?
Yeah, something. And
I know we were there, yeah.
And I wrote it down and I'll have to go through my notes, but essentially we went too far, which was a line said by the main character's friend back in 1899. His friend said, "Will we ever go too far with technology?" So apparently that came back around because we went too far. We mined the moon, and they show the shot of the moon, and it's like broken in pieces, and some of it is falling to the earth. And apparently it causes a post-apocalyptic earth. So there's a struggle. He's trying to get away from these police officers. He gets back in his time machine, and he punches it forward by a lot.
Is this when he gets knocked out? Yes.
Yes.
I forget how he gets knocked out at this...
I think like a piece of the moon falls on him or something.
It must have got, yeah, jostled again
so
in
he's,
the apocalypse.
So the machine is on, it's running, he's traveling through time, and he gets knocked out. And then there's this like long sequence where they show a lot of time passing. And he wakes up and it
Earth gets destroyed and recreated and ice aged and at least two full cycles of that.
Yeah. And then he finally comes to and the date time reader thing says, take it away, Desi.
802,701.
Right.
On the great day of July 16th, for what it's worth.
July 16th. It's a good day. Okay, so 802701 is the date, which is super cool because not many movies go that far in the future.
And not to stay. A lot of them go there just for... To prove that the time machine could if they wanted to, but then they back away very quickly because they don't want to do that.
So then he is rescued by the local people. I call them new people. And they kind of look like indigenous Native American type of people. And they nurse him back to health. He makes friends. He soon realizes that there are no old people amongst these groups.
Eloy
is the name of the people.
Yes.
There are no old people amongst the Eloy. And the reason is there is an alternate underground orc type of species who are hunting the Eloy for food. And these little orc thingies.
We don't know that. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. This is a spoiler
we're
alert.
Moving through.
We're giving it all. Yeah. So he essentially the main character. Forgetting his name right now. I'm not good with names.
Where did it go? Alexander Hartnigan.
Alexander.
Or Guy Pierce,
yep. Essentially ends up helping these Eloy people.
So after asking questions, they then get, attacked. And that's when Alexander goes into high gear.
Yeah, so he has to rescue the woman that nursed him back to health with the help of her little brother, and he goes into their underground lair, which is lots of tunnels, and they kind of seem like they have machines and they're very evil, dark, scary creatures.
Yeah.
And he comes across the king, as I called him.
Uber Morlock. Yeah, the Eloy are above, the Morlocks are below.
Oh.
And he is credited as...
Morlock.
Uber Morlock.
Uber Morlock.
All of them are Morlocks.
Oh, okay.
Beneath. And then...
The king is the Uber.
And then Jeremy Irons is the Uber Morlock.
Okay.
That's what he's credited as.
I'm going to call him the king of the orcs.
Perfect.
And he explains that, his species, they're breeding it to do certain things. Oh, he explains that what happened was when the moon did crumble, some people survived above ground and some people survived below ground. And they are the below ground survivors who have turned into these very ugly creatures.
Yeah, they've totally separated into two. Well, no, because they do procreate. He talks about that too. He says two species, but then he mentions that
they do procreate.
They use the Eloy for procreation. So.
Anyway, so Alexander destroys the king and uses his time machine as a bomb to destroy all the orc creature things and destroy all their tunnels and save the above ground people because they're nice.
The good guys.
The good guy. They're the good guys.
The pretty ones.
Yeah. And yay, happy ending. But before he did that, don't clap yet. Before he did that, he took a little trip more into the future with the king. And the way he kills the king is kind of cool, but I have a lot of questions about it. But he saw that in the future, the orc, evil, ugly people do end up coming above ground and like destroying the earth. And it looks like Mordor. And
thank you. My note says Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
totally.
So then he goes back, right?
He goes forward to the year.
Yep.
746,538,921. The great year of our Lord.
Wow. Okay, wait. Say those numbers, just like the numbers.
746,538,921.
Wow. Yeah, and
You know what? This is not an accident. They used every digit. They mixed them up, but that's just 1 through 9.
Really?
Yep.
Did they use 0?
Nah. That's not a real number. That's an integer. No, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. So very random, very far in the future, and the Earth is destroyed, and these orc things are...
The Earth is not destroyed. The Earth does not care who she nurses into reality. The Earth is going to be just fine. Whether you're pretty or ugly, the Earth just wants to be there for you.
Okay. Well, it looks terrible. It looks dark. And anyway, so then he goes back to...
Who are we to judge, Ari?
All right. All right. So he goes back to the time where he killed a king, and
just to the year 802,000 ish.
Right. And he uses the machine to blow it all up, and essentially
he sends them into an accelerated... Go ahead, I'll let you finish.
Well, yeah, so he talks about he's going to change the future. So he went back, blew them all up, and now the future is changed so that the pretty above ground people can flourish. Yay! The end. But because his time machine is destroyed, he is stuck there, and he's okay with it because he's got a new pretty lady friend.
Yes, he does. The Eloy.
Cool. So that's your overview. Let's get into the nitty gritty.
So I'm going to talk about the end first.
The end
since
first.
We're right here. Just because of... So how he destroys the Morlocks is by jamming his time machine. Of course, this is all... He seems to know a lot about what's going to happen. But he sends his time machine into the future, jams the gears,
he's
and
not
runs.
In it.
He's yeah. not in it.
He's not in it. He's he turns it. It on and leaves.
And runs, and it is just accelerating into the future, and then he gets just out of the blast zone, and it goes off, and so then it reverses for whatever reason. It's like, up until now, all time travel happens within the machine, and he has assumed that by jamming the gears, it's going to blast outward. Because how he kills the Morlocks is by accelerating them in the future so fast.
So what it looks like.
That they turn to dust.
Yeah.
And so what...
But only in the blast range. So it emitted right. this light and blast, and whatever was in within that light or blast range, it looked like it accelerated and died.
But all of the sudden, oh, I guess it's doing the accelerating. Because up until now, you know, everything has been going too forward and backward in the future. And if you send this area a couple million years into the future, you would think even if the blast missed the people above, whatever gorge or ice age or whatever is below is. Because he's accelerating the entire area.
Is that what you took it as? I took it as whatever the... Like fire. If you think about it, if it were yeah. fire, instead of burning everything, it just accelerated like whatever it touched.
But so it was touching the cave. It
yeah,
was touching the
right.
entire area.
It was touching their machines because they showed
yeah.
their machines deteriorating. So there's a little bit of a hole here.
That's right. I guess we did just jump right into holes, didn't we?
Yeah. It was a cool effect.
I liked it. I thought it was really... Really well done. And of course, they had to have them as close to the blast range as possible to make it exciting.
Yeah.
I get it, but it was
it's a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a hole. So.
But going from there, can we now talk about how he killed the king guy?
Yes.
So he had turned his machine on. So it's spinning and it's created its little sphere, but it hasn't traveled yet. And they're fighting in this sphere, and they're like, ha, wah, bang, flip, punch, knife. Oh, no, knife gets knocked away. And then, this is very implausible. Implausible? Implausible?
Implausible.
Implausible. The king is dangling out of the machine, holding on to Guy Pierce's neck, which is very hard to support somebody who's holding onto your neck. Support them up. But so the king is dangling outside of the sphere, except for his forearms up to about his elbows are within the sphere. And then Guy reaches over and he pushes a lever up, which starts the time travel process. And then you see, which is also a cool effect, the king age and disintegrate and disappear.
And die.
But let's talk about that. Because essentially what that means is he's dangling outside, and for years. He is dangling there for years till he ages and dies. You think he would just let go?
Well, either way. Oh.
He is dangling out there like this. You can't see me, but my hands are above my head.
You're right.
And I'm dangling. And he's just hanging there until he dies. Till he withers away and dies. Because he like shrinks, turns into like a skeleton, and then just like disintegrates away.
Yeah, and that's from Guy Pierce's point of view.
Yes. But from the king's point of view, he's just hanging in the middle of nowhere.
Is Guy still holding on to him at that point?
No,
at
the
all?
King is still holding on to Guy's neck.
Guy doesn't have him at all.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because when he finally dies and lets go, his forearms are still wrapped around Guy's neck, and he's got to like throw him away.
I felt like they were holding on to each other, and the king is like, well, I'm just going to choke you to death. Since you're not going to let go of me, I'll just choke you to death.
But he's essentially trying to choke him to death because he's outside the sphere for, let's say, 50 years. How long does it take a body to disintegrate
into
dust?
He's an Uber Morlock. So in theory, you know, probably not billions of years, but for this guy to live to...
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just from his point of view, just let go. And then even if it's 20 years in the future, 30 years in the future, then you're an uber-duber Morlock, because now not only do you have mind control over these creatures, but you've just transported 30 years in the future.
That's right. Didn't he have telekinetic powers, too?
He is. So the Morlocks, I thought was very interesting. They have a caste society, and they have bred... ears and bred like certain, I don't know ants very well, but no, ants isn't right. Everyone has a job. It's not like us where any one of us can go out and do this or the other.
Right.
They have some that are bred to do the hearing, some that are bred to do the seeing, some that are bred to do the hunting.
I see.
Which are the ones that we see. Because even he says at some point there are multiple of him. So they have hives.
Oh, I missed that part.
What I feel like. And we're seeing one hive and it feeding off one food source.
Okay.
And
yeah, so if he had just let go at any point, he probably would have survived. But it's a cool effect. It looks cool for the movie.
It is.
You know, what does it look like when someone just ages to death?
And we've watched one other movie that I won't mention, but where the barrier of the time machine creates a really neat effect. And I really like that. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, that was a fun part of the movie where he turns the machine on and everything around him starts to accelerate.
So let's talk about the time machine.
Yeah.
This time machine is steampunkish. This would not have occurred to me, but I read that when it kind of fires up, it has a little bit of an hourglass effect to it, which I thought was cool and a neat idea. It seems to hover in space.
So there's a lot to talk about with
what
happens to it and around it.
Because it's interesting, everything that this machine goes through in billions of years and being buried in sand and frozen in icebergs. The moon finally jostled it and blew and brought him out of it, but it withstands a lot. And then at the end, when Uber Morlock is hanging from it, it's just in the middle of the air. What happens if he turns it off there? Does it fall to the ground?
Yeah, I think for that part, they made it seem like it was on the edge of a cliff, so it wasn't hanging in midair.
Okay.
But one thing is for sure about this time machine is it only travels in time and not space, which is one thing I love. We know that.
Yes.
That I love when a time machine is very specific about whether it can travel in time or space or time and space. And this one is only time, so it stays exactly where it is and everything around it changes.
Yes.
But the question is...
What's the question?
Is it not there? When it's on and time is traveling, do other people not see a globe, a sphere?
They do not. And the only reason I know is because at the very end, after he kills the Morlock and he comes back...
It appears.
It appears in front of her.
Yeah, I saw that too. So that means that somebody could build something in the space that it occupies?
Yes.
But that is a huge hole.
That's a huge hole. Yeah. Because they can see it, and that's a huge hole, you know, to imagine. But they can't. But let's just imagine for a second that that's the direction they went. But when they went the other direction where, yeah, there's nothing there until it's back.
But here's another hole. Towards the very end, right before he used his stopwatch to blow up the machine, I keep calling them orcs, but whatever they're called, are like inching towards it because they can see it. It's this glowing ball of light and you see the thing spinning around inside. They're like, what is this? And they're inching towards it and then it blows up.
You're right.
So there's another hole.
There's a big hole.
So can you see it? Can you not see it? It conveniently, when he does arrive in 2030, it's conveniently outside in a perfect alleyway where two buildings were just built, you know, perfectly around it.
Because that's where it's very convenient that he can see what's going on around him. So in theory, because he could have turned it off. I mean, if you just sit and forget, it could turn on and you're buried under the dunes. And in theory, once you're stopped time traveling, the sphere collapses and whatever's above you comes down on it.
Yeah.
So therein, it makes it very convenient. Because I was thinking about that too, how I think it's unique in time travel movies that you can see everything progressing.
Yeah.
Outside. And so you could time it well if you went, oh crap, I'm encased in this building, go a couple million years forward or back it up a little bit,
yeah,
and get yourself out of that sticky situation.
I wonder if in the book he explains that at all.
It just reminds me how unique the DeLorean is. Like, why wouldn't you put wheels on this thing so you could move around a little bit when you got somewhere else?
Yeah, you could see things changing around you and you just drive, you know,
or
20
at least
feet.
Drive when you get there. Even if you can't activate it while you're moving, have a mode of transportation or not have to walk away from your time machine.
Cars were very new at that point when he built this machine, right? So
that's right.
Although, but they still had wheels. They still had, you know, horse and carriage.
Make it bigger so your horses can travel with you. Come on, man. Or build a time machine. Go nuts.
Yeah, so that was very convenient that the space where the time machine was preserved. Nothing was built on top of it or, you know.
So laws were created very, very quickly. He assesses very quickly that no matter how many times he tries to go back and save his wife, he won't be able to. He tries once and then just assumes her death is inevitable.
Yeah.
That was, it sped things up, but
I wonder if in the book he tried a couple more times.
Yeah, that's quite possible. And then he just immediately, he immediately goes into the future.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of any other ways about how the time machine works itself.
So one thing that was not brought up, when he went into the past to try to save himself, the subject of his original self that was there was not brought up, was not seen, was not talked about, nothing.
Yeah, that would have been a great scene to film because he was obviously rushing to try to avoid his previous self.
Well, not even. That wasn't even a thought. It wasn't.
No, it was because he tells her, just go home. Just go before he goes in to get the flowers and she gets trampled. He said, go home. I'm going to come find you later. Nothing I say is going to make sense.
Okay.
So,
but we don't know. The audience doesn't know what he's thinking as far as his original self.
Only because of that quick explanation. Almost like a reshoot. Like they're like, oh, shoot, we have to assess the fact that he's traveled back to where his previous self still exists. And they mention it, but they don't visualize it at all.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that mention.
Yeah. He tries once. It doesn't work. He assumes the worst and just decides to just go into the future. I don't know what he's looking for in the future.
He's looking for the answer as to why I can't change the past.
That's assuming, since I've developed time travel now, it's got to be,
there's got to be a way
awesome in a couple thousand years. So I'll just go figure that out. I'll learn from their mistakes. I'll come back.
Yeah, because he went to the library with the artificial intelligence and he asked him, why can't I change the past?
So the Uber Morlock mentions at the end, where does he say it? You built the time machine in spite of Emma's death, which was inescapable, and I am the inescapable result of you. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this was a little bit confusing to me. Is he trying to suggest that he is a result of him time traveling?
Yes.
How? He had nothing to do with the moon.
This is where it gets into ideas that are unexplored in the movie, but are just kind of thrown out there. Did it split? Like, maybe this is only his future. Maybe as soon as he went back 4 years and there were two of him that split the timelines, and then his new timeline jumped forward, and at least this timeline is the result of his travel. And all there's right. still another timeline where he's very confused because his to-be fiancée didn't show up at the rink. He finds out much later that she was trampled. And
So that's a whole separate time. That's a good point. What happens to the original Alexander and then the one who traveled? I mean, they could technically be in the same, if you think about it as one line.
Because he does immediately go so far ahead where he's never going to bump into himself again, and that's no longer an issue. But does the Alexander, who's now in, I'd say, Timeline Alpha, I believe, and he goes to the skating rink, he waits 2 hours, goes home.
Finds out later that she got hit by a cart.
Does he?
I mean, I'm assuming. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think, you know, in our age of information, that. But he'll find out. They know enough of the same people.
Yeah.
Where he's going to find out. So does that Alexander then spend the next 4 years developing time travel? Does he develop time travel in the first one because he feels responsible for her death? He's the reason the gun goes off because he's the one fighting with the robber.
Right.
If she's just randomly trampled and doesn't feel
responsible. We have to assume within this story, the original Alexander, we'll call him, whose fiance got trampled, does not develop time travel and just lives a life and that's it. We have to assume that because...
Which maybe he does, because in 2037, Orlando Jones has no if trampled Alex.
I know, this is getting confusing.
If trampled Alex, never develops it, then that's why Orlando Jones doesn't have a history of it. Because if he doesn't immediately feel the need to go back, let's say he does develop time travel, but again, he doesn't feel responsible for his fiance, you know, accidents happened and he develops time travel and it's his first thought isn't go back and save her. He just uses it. Then in theory, Orlando Jones knows that time travel's a thing. So does trampled Alex just mourn in obscurity because he's not driven by the guilt to create time travel?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I mean, this makes me want to read the book.
Yeah.
Very much. Maybe I'll pick up a book of this. But I would assume that it would be that he would not have the guilt and the drive to go back in time and just kind of live out his life as a normal person.
There are, and this has nothing to do with really what we're talking about, except for the fact that we're talking about the book, some deleted chapters that kind of came and went from the book. And they seem to have more to do with the end. I think it was more of an argument over how fantasy it got. And you're making this science fiction book. How much Lord of the Rings do you want in it? So that kind of comes and goes. That's interesting, I think. And I'll definitely revisit that. I'll be getting the book on tape because I have no patience for reading. But I'll be happy to listen to someone read it for me. While we're just hovering around the subject, the book was published in 1895. It was written...
Is this one of the first time travel stories? I know we looked this up once.
It is. The work is generally credited with the popularization of the concept of time travel.
But it's not... Isn't there a movie from like the 1930s or something about time travel?
I think so. And that might be... This is, I think, H.G. Wells really invented the concept of a time machine.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That would have been later than... 1895.
So I think the idea of time travel had been discussed a little bit, but the idea that you're going to build a machine to do it consciously whenever and however you want, I think that's what was really popularized with this story.
Yeah, so this was the first known time travel story.
Yes. Any other general nerdy thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I liked this movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
Real quick. Oh, yeah, we'll get back to that. Real quick, before we get into ratings, you have this time machine. You can use this time machine. Do you, and in what capacity?
Yes, I do use it, of course, and I go into the future. I'm more interested in future than in the past. Most time travel stories talk about going into the past more than the future. I loved this because I would definitely go into the future.
Before I answer that, it just got me thinking of the time machine itself. So he starts it and then he puts the time crystal in, which is a doorknob.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
I think it's just the key to turn it on.
And I don't know, just how the whole thing works.
Well, they don't talk about how it's powered or the science behind it. There was even a note that I wrote down. He's doing this long math equation on his blackboard, and some of the symbols that he's doing, are those real symbols?
The symbols are.
Are they? It was like an upside down triangle with like a cube design, like a two or a square.
Actually, I can't prove that they're real. I know between the little bit of physics I know and the little bit of advanced math I've looked at, I certainly haven't done any of the equations. It's they. Yeah, I'm just going to assume it is because they use so many notations and
yeah, they probably have
non number because it's all theory. So numbers, you can't put real numbers in there because that would mean you could do the math. You got to put some weird symbol in there so you can't figure it out. I definitely use this machine, and I might use this machine more as a peeking device because you can see things happen around you. He seemed to be able to control the speed of it.
Yeah.
So you could jump months at a time, or it seems like you could just push that crystal a little bit and just look at the next 24 hours and 20-30 minutes and get an idea of what's going to happen, and then just go right back to where you were and destroy the present.
This reminds me of an episode on Futurama. Do you ever watch Futurama?
I do.
So there's an episode on Futurama where they have a time machine, and I think it can only go forward, and they go forward a lot, and they come across all these different versions of Earth and new species and taken over by aliens, and they essentially discover that time is a loop, and they go around and end up right back where they were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Okay, it's a fun episode. Well,
we need to, Futurama, we got to put that on the list. Absolutely. This gets me in a conundrum.
Okay.
So he goes back in time, and in theory, his other self is there that he has to avoid. But since it's not an instantaneous jump, when he's slowly going back in time, wouldn't he see himself? Maybe he isn't there, but he says, well, next time you see me, I'll be confused. Like, you won't understand what I'm talking about. But if the he that goes to the past is the same he that goes back to the present, then he won't be confused. He'll just be able to say, oh, I'm sorry, I got lost. Or why would then his present self, when does it split? Because if you're going back slowly, and you can see, you know, in theory, he would see himself in his library moving around. But then if you're going back slowly, when do you split?
So I guess the moment that he goes back, the minute he gets in and turns it on.
Oh, right. You wouldn't split.
Because for the first 4 years, you're seeing yourself.
You would just see yourself. You would see a ghost yourself back out of the time machine as you turned it on and activated it.
This is a very good question because, you let's say you climb into your time machine and you turn it on. Boom. You would then see yourself climbing out of the time machine, you know, walking in reverse.
Erasing all your equations.
Yeah, having breakfast in reverse, going through your day, experiencing the loss of the fiance, and then getting to that night eventually.
And then making sure you turn it off when you're not there, because it's, of course, it's never just explained in this movie, but we'll just assume you don't want to bump into yourself.
Yeah. And here's another question. Can the time machine, because it is stationary in space, exist before it was built? So it is being built in this space. Because the time machine does not move, can it go back to a time before it even existed in that space?
Yes.
Of the universe.
Because he creates some kind of a time bubble, and whatever is in there banters about however you want. If
so, I mean, this is
it was a closed box situation, then it gets confusing. But he seems to create wormhole isn't the right word, but he creates a space that can move through time.
So this is that hole again. This is the question of, does the time machine create this sphere that is completely separate to what it is occupying, the space that it is occupying? Because can someone walk through? But
right.
I think no, because like things fly out of the sphere. Like he dropped the necklace out of the sphere and it just landed on the floor below him. The knife flew out of the sphere. So
but they all aged immediately. Once they were outside of the time bubble, they were no longer in the safe zone, and they aged appropriately.
Yeah, so whether or not this time machine can exist before it was built is a very big question for this story.
I'm satisfied with it. And I see what you're saying for some stories, but this one I think I can imagine.
I mean,
because if it was a closed box and you couldn't see the circle surrounding the box, then yes, the box would have to be there to receive what's inside of it. But since he's creating the bubble,
the sphere,
to encompass the machine, him, and everything else that's inside of it.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable with it.
This goes into the question of what is happening in the space.
But yeah, the idea that
around the bubble,
that other people can't see it until he decides to.
But yet, some people
turn it
did
off.
See it.
Now, and that would make sense, too, if at a certain speed, it's undetectable. And then once it starts slowing down, you start to see it. If it's moving faster than light in order to move through time.
That's a good
explanation.
Only
when it starts pumping the brakes.
That's a good explanation.
Does it become visible?
Because it can be on, but not traveling through time.
Yeah.
That happened.
And that's when
it's a good question. I mean, we could get into this for hours, but it's getting damn hot in this studio right now. So.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Everyone out there, please let us know, especially if you've read the book. Just send us an email and shout at us. Tell us how dumb we are for doing this backwards. Or at least you can call me. I won't put Ari under the bus, but you can call me an illiterate. Fuck. That's okay. Whoa.
Bad word.
That's why I produce and listen to podcasts, because I don't read. Right. Oh, rating. You said you liked it.
I liked it.
How much?
I liked it. As a movie, I thought it was very well-rounded. It had all the things. It's probably an even more phenomenal book. I would definitely give this a 9.
Wow!
I like movies that go into the future.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I was going to give it a little lower grade. I'm going to raise it up a little bit. It essentially turns into a period piece at some point. I mean, not too much, because they don't stay there very long.
Yeah. And
but you're right. It does utilize the time machine.
It still uses the time machine.
Yeah, I can't go up to 9. I'm going to go 7.5.
Okay.
7.5. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Please like and subscribe to Time Pop and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can enjoy a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. And if you hated every second of this but unable to recoup the time you have lost, tell someone you hate to download and listen to Time Pop. Ruin their future. We'll take the numbers any way we can get them. Please check out soundsawesome9216.com. That's soundsawesome9216.com to see what else sounds awesome. If you would like to add to the discussion, please email us at timepop9216@gmail.com. That's timepop9216@gmail. And tell us your thoughts about this particular depiction of time travel and how you might use it. And definitely let us know about a time travel movie, book, game, etc. that we might discuss on a future episode. And if you would like to start your own discussion on the topic, please head over to Face Insta Twitter Book. We are at TPOP9216. That is at TPOP9216. And now back to the big finish. Dun, 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 dun. Awesome. Thank you for enjoying our discussion. I don't know.
Where's the big finish?
Yeah, I know.
I did like how the AI guy put up the
live long and prosper.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. I must have been taking notes. Anything? Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Desmond McNeese.
And Ariel Gala.
Have a great week, folks.
Bye.